Father, bless your word. Help us to get home safely tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
All right, where are we at? Hebrews chapter 3. All right, Hebrews chapter 3. Sit down, Lincoln.
Sit down. Sit down.
Good boy. All right. It works every time. Give him the serious voice, he gets right down. Yeah, it works. Now he's going to lay down because he knows I'm mad at him. Hebrews chapter number 3, verse number 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle. Notice the capital A. Who do you think that is? Mrs. Dombrowski, who do you think that is? Jesus Christ, that is correct. He's the chief apostle, the chiefest of apostles. And high priest of our profession, there it is, Christ Jesus. Cross references for the high priest. Write this down. 1 Peter 2:9. That's talking about how we have been called to a royal priesthood. That means that not only is Jesus Christ the high priest, but technically every man, woman, and child in Jesus Christ is a priest. That's a good line to use on Roman Catholic priests. They get kind of mad about it. Hebrews 4:14 is another good one for the high priest. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold our profession. Let us hold fast our profession. Excuse me. Back to chapter 3, verse number 2. Who was faithful to him that appointed him? As also Moses was faithful in all his house. All right, this whole thing of Moses was faithful in all his house, it's referring to his household, but it's not talking about his personal family. It's talking about the Lord's family. What was Moses faithful in? You almost have to be more specific, because if we look at Moses as a whole, Moses is a good picture of Bible calls him friend of God, the Lord's preacher, I mean, all these different things, and yet you think about how much of a quote-unquote failure Moses would be considered to be in today's day and age. I mean, he killed a guy, right? Hit him in the sand. Not the most faithful thing to do, correct? And he went to the backside of the desert and hung out for 40 years herding sheep. Okay, maybe he's faithful at that. But then you even, as a pastor, if you will, Moses as the pastor of the church in the wilderness, he was not always even faithful when it came to that. Why is that? Well, one time, I think it's over in Numbers chapter 20 or Exodus chapter 4, somewhere in the Old Testament, he's basically telling God to kill off all Israel because he's so fed up with them. So, having it all said, this verse is referring to Moses' faithfulness in constructing the tabernacle and giving of the law. So, when it says that Moses was faithful in all his house, he's referring to the fact that Moses was faithful to the will of God, that what God called Moses to do, he followed through on that, and that was the giving of the law and building of the tabernacle. Verse number 3, for this man, talking about Jesus Christ, was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. So it's more important on who builds the house than the house its actual self. A good way to look at that is also the church. It's more important on who builds the church than the church itself. This church is not as important than the one who should be building this church, that is Jesus Christ. Verse number 4, for every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. All right, there it is. There's creationism in a nutshell. Good cross-reference for that is Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. By him all things consist. Verse number 5. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. That testimony refers over in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 6. Second Corinthians 3:6. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Comparing the Old Testament with the New Testament. Also known as testimony. Verse number 5. Verse number 6 in chapter 3 again. But Christ as a son over his own house. Who is his own house? It's his body. It's the bride of Christ. It's me and you. Whose house are we? But, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. It is conditional. This is how we know Hebrews is not written to me and you. Why? Because our salvation is not conditional in this age. Everything that Paul says in his epistles, written to different churches or Christians for that matter, does not say that, well, you're saved, you're part of his own house, you're part of his body, if you hold fast, if you're firm unto the end. No, this is conditional. This is works. Look down in verse number 14. He says something very similar. Verse 14, for we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. This is all kind of almost in reference over there in Matthew where he says, he that endureth in the end shall be saved. What is that referring to? Because what happens is you have Christians nowadays that they hold on to stuff like that and they think that I have to live it to keep it. Great example of this is our one concrete guy. He's Mennonite, and he believes that if you're a murderer or a killer or a rapist or whatever, you're not saved. Because he believes, as a Mennonite, I have to stay saved by doing works. It's conditional on my works. That's not what Paul says in his epistles to the church. Verse number 7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, now a cross-reference for you, verses 7 through 11, write down Psalm 95, 7 to 11. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, that today He brings that up over in 2 Corinthians 6:2. Paul does, talking about, behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. That is 2 Corinthians 6:2. Verse number 8, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. What does provocation mean? Look down in verse number 16. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Provoke, the act of provoking is provocation. Okay? He also, Martin Luther said back in the day, solo scriptura, the best interpreter of scripture is scripture itself. He says, as in the provocation, comma, in the day of temptation. What is provocation? It's tempting. You're tempting God. You're provoking God in the wilderness. When did that happen? Deuteronomy chapter number 1, verse 26. Write that down. This is known as the Kadesh Barnea decision. This is when Israel tempted God in the wilderness, rebelled against God in the wilderness. Kadesh Barnea. Would you like the spelling? Or the reference? Are you mad at me? Stephen's not here, so you have to be mad at somebody. Ha ha. Hopefully he listens to this. Deuteronomy 1:26. Stephen, she's not mad at you. She's usually just mad at me or Jim. Or the dog. Me, Jim, or the dog? We don't know any Joeys, I don't think. Verse number 9. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. There's the wandering around the desert for 40 years. Can you imagine walking? I don't even know how to put this. It's really not that big of an area they're walking around in. Maybe Rhode Island? Can you imagine walking around in Rhode Island for 40 years and you can't find where you're trying to get to because God just has you keep walking around because you provoked him, because you tempted him, because you proved him after you saw his works? Verse number 10, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do alway err in their heart, and they know not, they have not known my ways. What generation is he referring to? He's talking about the generation. We'll get this down in verse number 16. Why don't we go there anyways? Go to Numbers. It all relates. Numbers chapter 1. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers chapter 1. Is it just me or is there a skunk outside? There's definitely a skunk outside. You could smell it real bad in the office. Numbers chapter 1, look at verse number 2. Okay. Numbers 1, verse 2. Take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel after their families by the house of their fathers with the number of their names, every male by their poles. Verse number 3. From 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel, thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies. So what happens is they get out of Egypt and God numbers the people. Look at chapter 14, if you will. Numbers 14. Numbers 14, verse number 28 and 29. Numbers 14, 28 and 29. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old upward, which have murmured against me. So what happens is, he basically says, that whole generation, that means if you're over the age of 20, if you're able to go to war, when they came out of Egypt, when they got numbered for 40 years, those people had to walk around and wait to die because they were not getting into the land. That's a lot of people that are basically going to have to get washed out. And if you think about it, so it's 20 years old, so that means they walked around for 40 years. So 60-year-olds had to die off before they could get into the land. Verse number 11, Hebrews 3:11. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. All right, now we have to kind of go over this real quick because there are four rests that are brought up in the book of Hebrews in reference to different rests. They're in chapter 3 and chapter 4. The first one is this right here. This is known as the Canaan rest. C-A-N-A-A-N. Canaan rest. This would be the rest after wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. They finally, as a nation, had rest from Egypt, rest from Pharaoh, rest from wandering in the wilderness. Then you have the creation rest. That's in chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Of course, God made everything in 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. And there's the believer's rest. That is rest in heaven, if you will. That is chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. Then lastly, you have the millennial rest, chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. So verse number 11, he says, I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into rest. Basically, you're all going to die before you get to rest. You're not going to the promised land. You don't have a ticket. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. You're not getting in. Verse number 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Again, I'll give you a cross-reference for verse number 12. He's basically warning them, like, hey, if you got a heart of unbelieving, guess what? God's not going to give you rest. Basically, if you don't continue your belief in Jesus Christ, if you don't continue to believe in God, you're not going to get to heaven. Basically, is what he's making out in verse number 12. But look at what Paul says in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verses 11 through 13. Great verses for eternal security. Once saved, always saved. Verse number 11. 2 Timothy 2:11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. But if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. So again, how can we be put out of the body of Christ by not continuing our works? How can the body be a part of the body but not be a part of the body? That's not possible. You can't just liposuction or cut off, amputate certain parts of the body of Christ just because they're not living up to snuff. Now, they will not be in fellowship, but they're still part of the body of Christ. Verse number 13. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ. There it is again. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. And just like he said up in verse number 6. While it is said, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Like he said up in verse number 8. Verse 16. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. All right, we went over that in Numbers chapter 1, Numbers chapter 14. Verse 16, the first two words are for some. That means not all. Correct? The New King James Version, this is one of the main differences between New and Old King James. The New King James says, for who? Implying that everybody did. They removed some and put in the word who. Verse number 17. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? There it is, talking about in Numbers chapter 14. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So again, why did he have to kill everybody off from 20 and upward? Because they did not believe that God was going to bring them into the promised land. That's why they had to wander around for 40 years, because they did not believe God. The correlation is same thing in the tribulation. A tribulation saint, if he does not believe and trust in God, he is not going to see the rest, or he's not going to get to the end. He's got to endure, 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 like verse number 6 and verse number 14. Any questions over chapter 3?
Yes. The millennial rest was chapter 4, 7 to 8.
Yes, ma'am. Definitely. Who forgot their Panera chips?
Jim.
Hmm?
Jim.
Oh.
So you can have them.
He'll get mad at me.
No, he was trying to get one of us to